Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, all seven rounds in heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Week 3 lived up to the dread of a dead week. Hope spending time with your family was nice because we won't have a week like that again. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the guy who started a petition to bring Bobby Petrino back to Louisville. And with me as always is AJ. You play to win the game, Marchese.
I think Herm's tenure was a lot better than any of us anticipated, right? Overall.
Okay, you think someone should hire him?
Yes, he deserves another shot.
Today we're talking all the NFL draft prospects who dove, showed, and woed during week 3 of college football. Let's hit it!
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to KC maybe, looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying to not let the funk out. There's a lot of funk in Tempe, Arizona. Herm Edwards is out.
Yeah.
If you remember during his opening press conference, when they first hired him and shocked the world, he didn't like the idea of Devils, so he didn't quite know that he was coaching the Sun Devils at that time. I don't know if he ever knew he was.
Honestly, I think that's where you should leave it.
Defend your guy. Defend your guy, AJ.
Look, better than... I'm going to stand by what I said in the cold open. I guess not the cold open. In the intro. Better than I anticipated, and I did not anticipate much, Rob.
2 8-win seasons, a 7-win season, 3 bowl appearances.
It's not bad.
And in 5 years, he went 26-20. Just a whole heap of NCAA infractions.
Who cares?
So who knows if any of these wins count when it's all said and done.
He's got enough.
Nobody broke the COVID rules more than them.
COVID didn't exist in Arizona. You know that for a fact.
They were like holding jamborees during COVID.
Yeah, but do you think the rest of Arizona State University gave a fuck about COVID? There's zero chance.
I'm not sure Herm knew COVID happened.
Look, Herm just was going with the culture of the school. He's getting... Look, we thought, you know, big-time NFL guy, you know, out of the game for so long, going to Arizona State, that culture's not going to work. But he made it work. He got right in, and I think that's why he didn't care.
My favorite thing about Herm is that He got to be the head coach of a Power 5, like a middle-tier Power 5 program that had a lot of potential before he
made
it.
Yeah, it did.
10 years after coaching. Like, there was a 10-year gap between him being the Chiefs head coach and taking over Arizona State. And he had a losing record with the Chiefs.
I forgot.
Prior to that, he had a losing record with the Jets, too. Like, he hadn't coached in college football since the 80s. Herm Edwards is the most ridiculous hire, and I'm pretty sure it was all because their athletic director, Ray Anderson's like his friend. Anyway, I'm glad we had the Herm era in Tempe.
Me too. Never forget it.
All right, before we get into the college football week three superlatives, who would you hire? Who would be at the top of your list? Who do you think they'll hire?
Jed Fish.
Okay.
No, I like it. I think, honestly, my target's Todd Monken if I'm Arizona State. I like that. I saw that on the Feldman list. I think it just makes a lot of sense. I don't know why.
I think two that I saw on both lists that I'm, like, uncertain about are Kalani Sitake. Why would he leave BYU as they're joining the Big 12 and he's an alum?
BYU is better than Arizona State. Like, that doesn't make sense.
And then Jonathan Smith at Oregon State. Yeah. I kind of get that just because, like, obviously there's more upside with the Arizona State job. But, again, he has turned them around so well. He's an alum. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a guy leaving the school he played at. I just have a harder time seeing it. Yeah. Especially just this is the biggest dumpster fire in the Power 5.
Yeah.
Whoever, it's a long rebuild. They need a long leash. I kind of think you hire Dan Mullen. Just pure comedy.
How about Jim Mora jumping over? Jim Mora jumping from UConn.
It's got to be someone funny is the best, right? It's Dan Mullen, it's Jim Mora, it's Brian Harsin, Tom Herman.
Ooh, that's a good one.
If you could lure Bronco Mendenhall out of retirement, I actually think that's a really solid one.
Why would he want to go there, though?
I don't know, but he was on the West Coast. I kind of ultimately think it's going to be Alex Grinch, and I don't think he's a great defensive coordinator. But
he'll be a great head coach, so it's okay.
Yeah. Maybe, like, I think I would swing and just go with a young, creative offensive. Like, I think I'd target I would have said Josh Gattis, but, you know, Miami didn't look that good on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So. They should have just hired Billy Napier when they had him.
It's true.
Because they beat South Florida, and that's not easy.
By three, or what was it? Fuck.
Yeah, the Anthony Richardson ride has been a confusing one. College football week three superlatives. Let's start with best freshman, AJ. Tell us why Nick Singleton's the GOAT.
Yeah, that's the guy. He's the only guy I put, and he's the only guy that should be here, Rob. Look, it didn't take long. It wasn't unexpected, but the Saquon comps are out there now, baby. They're there. They're in the Twitter sphere. A word that no one said in 10 years. 10 carries, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. Look, his explosiveness is definitely reminiscent of Saquon Barkley. You can't deny it, Rob.
I mean, he was the number one running back recruit in the country. Mm-hmm. Obviously, kind of a slow start in that opener we all watched, but it was an ugly game.
Yep.
Since then, he's, like, the last two games, he's just been a machine for Penn State. And I'm hoping he gives Sean Clifford that winning record he deserves on his way out, you know?
Clifford's been a machine, too. Never mind. Number one, shoot up the board. Number one, made me look stupid. Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford, every category.
This is really good. I'm happy for you. I'll stick in the Big Ten at running back. I know it was against Toledo, but Dallin Hayden unexpectedly had to jump into this game. Trevion Henderson got hurt, left the game. I think they were just being smart with Mayim Williams. So once they had the lead, they just didn't play him again.
Yeah.
So Dallin Hayden, true freshman, four-star, who started the year as I think he would have been the fourth string because Evan Pryor. And he ran for 100 yards and a touchdown. He looked pretty good. The touchdown run was really nice. Just took what was given, and I know it was against Toledo, but... Hey, if Trevion Henderson needs some time off to get healthy, I'm still not totally sure what the injury was, but
mm-hmm.
Hayden looked good off the bench.
Nothing more frustrating than college injuries because they're
so unclear. You just don't know. And, like, it was very anticlimactic. Like, Henderson just, like, kind of walked to the locker room.
Like, Donovan Edwards didn't play, and it's just, like, they haven't said what it is. Just undisclosed. Very I hate it. Yeah. I don't have any more freshmen, do you?
This guy's, like, it's kind of cheating calling him a freshman, but technically he is a freshman. Washington's Jalen Polk, who's a third-year Texas Tech transfer, 153 yards and 3 touchdowns against Michigan State. was Penix's go-to guy. Just kept taking the top off the defense. Michigan State looked horrendous with their back seven.
What else is new? They were terrible last year, too.
And like last year, we always have Brock Bowers in this category. So
yeah, it's our usual suspects.
Our obligatory Georgia freshman, Malachi Starks, looked really good again.
He did. Had the pick on Rattler, yeah. It was easy, but it was nice. Had that good return, too.
Is he your number one DB for the 2020?
Yeah, already. Lock him in.
All right, I like it. I mean, hey, Walter Football probably has him going top down.
I would love to get my eyes on some Walter Football 2025, so I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it'll just crash your computer, so.
It's worth it.
It is. Okay, best sophomore. Speaking of Brock Bowers, yeah. It's got to be him.
Yeah.
6 touches, 126 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had the rushing touchdown. He had the insane touchdown where he kind of like back corner of the end zone, just getting his feet in. Just, I don't know. I think he might be the best offensive player in the country.
It's hard to say no. I mean, he's the best offensive player on might be the best team in the country, defending national champs, right?
He's also got a perfect offensive coordinator to utilize him in creative ways with Todd Monken.
What's the Brock Bowers comp, Rob?
Well, he's white, so...
Travis Kelce, correct, yeah.
Travis Kelce, yeah.
yeah, I mean, the yak is silly, man. Like he had the other touchdown that was ridiculous, 78 yards. I mean, he's wide open down the seam, but broke a tackle, made a guy miss. He just outran everyone. He's so athletic. His hands are great. He's fucking unreal.
It's so helpful, too, for them that they can, like, just basically use him as a jumbo receiver because they have Darnell Washington, right? Like they have a guy who can just be that true inline, and it allows them to be so creative with Bowers.
Yeah, definitely. And they got Ladd McConkey, the best receiver in the game too. It doesn't hurt.
Amen. Who else you got here?
It's like the usual fucking suspects, Rob. Bowers is the top guy. Caleb Williams, you throw here too. Wow, 25-37, 284, 2 touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. I mean. Heisman, Rob, what are you going to say? Who's your pick right now? Stroud?
Brock Bowers.
I think that would be fucking awesome if a tight end won Heisman.
Okay, 3 weeks in. Like, I feel like it's going to go to a quarterback. So, right now, I think you'd say Caleb Williams. But they haven't played anyone.
No, but they don't have to, so.
That's sick. Bo Nix is up there. No, I mean it's. I think it's Bryce Young, it's C.J. Stroud, it's Caleb Williams.
Is Bowers actually fourth?
Like Bowers might be.
Yeah, he might be.
I honestly think he probably is. He's the best player on Georgia's offense. Georgia's the best team in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Stetson Bennett will finish above him in the voting, which is stupid, but. Hey. Speaking of Stroud, his go-to sophomore receivers, Marvin Harrison and Emeka Egbuka, unstoppable once again. Yeah. I know it was Toledo, AJ, but it was a bad week, so let me talk about my guys.
It's okay. Go ahead.
They combined for 13 touches, 221 yards, 4 touchdowns. Marvin Harrison has such ridiculous body control. Both his touchdowns, it was just absurd. Egbuka's a little more of that shifty open field playmaker where Marvin Harrison's that like true kind of X outside winner, but the like JSN was back and I think they were keeping him on the snap count because of the level of competition, and like once he's good to go again, like those three plus Julian Fleming, who had two touchdowns in this game, like it's just such a ridiculous receiving core.
Yeah, it really is. That rounded out my sophomores, the two of them.
I'm just going to shout out one guy.
Go.
Leonard Taylor, the Miami defensive lineman. I thought in a game that, like, I don't even know if there was, like, it was theoretically the big game of Saturday.
It wasn't good, though.
I don't know if there wasn't even anyone who, like, particularly stood out in a way that you're really hammering the table for.
No, not, like, even a Shane wasn't that, like, explosive or anything, like.
Like, he had a good game given compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, offensively. I thought Leonard Taylor just kept popping a bit. 6'3", 305-pound, true sophomore interior defensive lineman. Just a lot of juice there. Miami's got some guys who defensively I think are really interesting, like him, James Williams, their safety, who's just, he's listed 6'5", 225. Like, they just, they have some guys, but it feels like every time Mario Cristobal's in a big game, like, yeah. His, don't, yeah. His teams don't come through despite just the level of recruiting he's done.
Yeah, that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Rob. I don't know about Mario. I'll say it.
But you know what you do know about?
The weekday warrior.
Cunningham's always the weekday warrior.
No, look. Oh, no, he's not. Come on. You think so?
No, I'm picking him because if you're going to say Johnny Wilson, I'm just putting him for shooting off the board because he redshirts off.
It's a good call. I put Johnny Wilson.
It was a bad week, and I was like, this guy was the best guy.
Yeah, no, he was. Look, Malik Cunningham was electric. He tried his damn best, but it was Johnny Wilson. But you're right. He's probably number one shooting off the board, too.
Imagine if Malik had Bobby Petrino as his coach.
I'm good. I don't want to.
I know Bobby Petrino is just the worst, but man's a good offensive coach. Missouri State almost had Arky.
They did. They fucking did.
And that's what Malik Cunningham needs. The real question is, like, how much longer is Scott Satterfield going to be the head coach at Louisville?
If they keep playing Friday nights, he's good. Like, people are just not going to worry about it, you know, Thursday nights, Friday nights.
Well, the thing is they have two or three huge recruits next year. So I just don't know if, like,
they're good.
He gets retained simply because of that.
Yeah, they're fine. Satterfield's going to be there for a decade.
They got a five-star running back coming next year.
He's going to be sick.
Sorry, I put Johnny Wilson for out of nowhere.
Do you want to talk about didn't watch Florida State earlier? Come on. Yeah, Johnny Wilson's a fucking freak. I mean, he's 6'7", 235, and he's just too damn big. Like, he has 7 catches on 49 yards, 2 touchdowns. Go ahead.
I'll say it. Herm knew how to get talent to Arizona State. He just couldn't keep it.
He fucking did. It's so true. He had that late touchdown on the fade. Like, his length is just, like, his length is crazy. I know he's 6'7". It's kind of obvious. But, like, it's not like he's just, like, a tall receiver. He looks like an offensive tackle who's, like, lost 150 pounds, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he like, looping back, because obviously we watched them against LSU.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like they didn't have him incorporated enough. He had a couple big catches.
Yeah, but he flashed.
He was the focal point of the offense against Louisville, and when he wasn't coming down with huge plays, he was, like, drawing penalties.
Yeah,
just because he's such an overwhelming height, weight, speed player. And, again, just a redshirt sophomore, a transfer from Arizona State. So, like, realistically, he's not going to be in the draft this year. But, I mean, guys like that, like, he's just very interesting, I think, when you, like, think about what Kyle Pitts brought to Florida. And Johnny Wilson's not Kyle Pitts by any means. But just the size and athleticism you get with a player like that, it's just such a complete mismatch, yeah. Especially at the college level. And Louisville's got, like, it wasn't coming necessarily against Kaitrell Clark, who's their top corner.
Well, he did draw the PI against him.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say it wasn't all against him or anything, but, like, his size against Clark's lack of size was a huge mismatch at times.
Yeah, I put Clark sliding down. I mean, it just to get him in there somewhere. But, like, again, the size is a huge mismatch. But, like I just said, he had to hold him, like, to bring him down, to bring it, like, would have been a huge touchdown. But, like, that's kind of my point, though, is, like, Wilson isn't just this 6'7", 235, you know, throw him to the corner player. He, like you said, he's athletic as hell. And his quickness.
Yeah, he's not J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
No, he wishes he was, but he's not. No, he's not. Because, I mean, he's not, like, you know, some shifty dude, obviously, because he's huge.
No.
But just the one-cut movement quickness is really impressive.
Yeah, it just creates, when you factor in that size, like, it's just such a mismatch.
Like,
I'm excited to see Florida State. It sucks that Jordan Travis got hurt.
It does, yeah.
That was the best game of the weekend.
It was. They should have just called the rest of it off. I think it was, like, a sluggo that he got Clark on, too. Like, just stuck his foot in the ground, and when he turned up, it's like, fucked. He's just gaining so much ground immediately.
Your guy, Mike Norvell, he's making Florida State at least fun to watch.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
They haven't been fun, so you're welcome.
Okay, best prospect, offensive prospect of the weekend.
This is tough for both, I thought. How about you?
Yeah, I cheat. I just, like, as the Ohio State fan watching them torch Toledo for 77 points, I was just like, I'll just put CJ Stroud.
That's fine. That's a fine pick.
Yeah, in a week like this, I was like, I don't feel guilty.
Yeah, agreed.
Threw for 367, five touchdowns. Just really efficient. It sometimes I wonder, I'm like, with the talent they have at wide receiver, how much of it is him, how much of it is them?
Well, look at Justin Fields and Dwayne Haskins. Well, rest in peace, King, but yeah.
And then he just throws a perfect seam ball to Cade Stover, you know?
Yeah.
And then he layers one over, I don't know, the broadcast kept saying like, oh, this should have been intercepted. The safety just misplayed the ball. I thought he layered this one touchdown over the safety perfectly to Marvin Harrison for a little catch and run for a touchdown. And they just kept going on and on about how it should have been intercepted. And I thought, to me, it looked like CJ Stroud just layered it perfectly because that's what he does. Look, his timing, what?
When you're a Toledo DB, every ball is expected to be intercepted, all right? That's just the facts. I mean,
Womack with the 49ers. It's
Tyson Anderson? Forget where he is, but yeah.
Is he on the Bengals?
I think so, yeah.
Probably didn't make Pro Bowl as a special teamer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. In a shitty week, seeing CJ Stroud do that, and I know he didn't have the best game against Notre Dame, but now he's two in a row. He's just been slicing and dicing with the best wide receiver core in the country.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fine pick for this week because it was not good. So I went with the team that we said, well, at least I don't know why this is on TV, but we get to watch him for the first time. That's Ole Miss, and that's the running back Zach Evans, who...
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, 18 carries, 134 yards, two touchdowns. He's just so fucking explosive. His cuts are so quick. He's so smooth. Just when he gets into the open field, first of all, he just finds the open field so well. I like hits that hole, just like, I don't know, creates space for himself. He's got such a good like innate sense of space, and then when he's in the open field, he's so dangerous. The contact balance is easy. Yeah, I mean, on a week where again, like it's either CJ Stroud or I don't know, Johnny Wilson. Like, give me Zach Evans. He looks so damn good.
Yeah, I was just gonna put it in general, and I'll get to it. But I thought it was a good week for the running back prospects as a whole.
Agreed.
Like, no one was unbelievable, but like, it just seems like a really deep, solid class.
Yeah, it is. Like, I don't have too many shooting off the boards, but, like, two more backs are there, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's I feel similarly. Best defensive prospect. I'm going to go to the West Coast where we had Oregon play BYU, and Dan Lenning's defense showed up. And I give it to Christian Gonzalez.
I did, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Nice. He had the two big third down PBUs. Yeah. The one came on the slant. The other was was it a fade? Kind of on the outside.
Yeah.
And he just played it perfectly. Press man, really patient feet. Gets his head around, just disrupts the catch point. In the slant, he just timed that perfectly, showing off that closing speed. He was just really, really, like, those were the two flashy plays, but the game as a whole, they just didn't really go at him much. And I know BYU was without the two top receivers, but when they did go at him, it was on those two third downs, and he came to play. Just such a patient press man corner and an unbelievable athlete.
The size and the speed.
On top of that.
Yeah. Like, Jaren Hall was doing damage against that Ducks defense. And like you said, they didn't have the top guys. But Gonzalez erased whoever's across from him. I think he only goes credit with giving up one catch. But, yeah, in a week of, like, bad matchups, like, I think he totally deserves it. Like, when he had actually play, yeah.
Yeah, and against a quarterback who, in a class where a lot of the guys people were propping up or faltering, Jaren Hall's been better.
Yeah, that's true. Also, like, I kind of give him some shit week one, so I felt like I owed it to him, too. But he deserved it.
It's okay. A lot of people give him shit week one.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really fun player, though.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Because he's David Blah's brother-in-law.
That's totally... I mean, the bloodlines, that's ridiculous.
Bloodlines, baby. Shooting up the board.
Yeah, I don't have too many guys here, but I got a couple ducks, but first I'm going to go back to the Penn State game and give it to your guy, Olu Fashunu, the left tackle, who I thought looked great.
Yeah.
He's already better than Rashid Walker. Just looked awesome in pass protection. I think total Penn State didn't give up any sacks. I don't even think he gave up a pressure. Like the run blocking still looked like it's coming along a bit, but like it's still just his fourth career start. So, like this is might be the guy
that's
that
the
like
the craziest part.
Yeah, this is the
against
the chip I think in the tackle class. You know, the betting chip
against an Auburn defensive line that's not short on talent.
Two potential day two guys. Yeah.
Yeah, Derek Hall, Kobe Wooden.
I put Hall for sliding down. I just thought he kind of got erased by Fashanu.
Yeah. That's a good one. I'm going to stick in the trenches, other side of the ball. Tyree Wilson. I know Texas Tech lost to NC State, but that NC State's offense had nothing going. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was Tyree Wilson just wrecking shit. He finished with 11 tackles, 3.5 TFLs, 2 sacks, and another hurry. But just, he had the left tackle on skates. My favorite play from him came when he was lined up 9 tech across from the left tackle, starts threatening outside, long arm, like threatening outside with a long arm, gets the tackle off balance. I don't know if this was the plan the whole time, but as soon as that long arm's kind of got the tackle off his block, he just counters inside with a swim, and the left guard comes over and he splits them both, gets a sack. It was unbelievable. Just pass rush plan on top of the power he possesses. And as a run defender, he's just, the motor is so hot. Like, this guy is nonstop, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be one of the highest drafted senior players in the country. I hope he's a Senior Bowl player. He might be too good for that. But
Jim will get him. Like, come on.
Oh, that's well said. He's quietly, because that Texas Tech team's going to, like, I think they'll get bowl eligible under Joey McGuire. But he's going to, you're going to look up at the end of the year, and he's going to have some of the best statistics in the country.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I'll give you, I think, two of your guys. How about the Ducks defender duo of Brandon Dorlus and DJ Johnson?
I put them, where did I put them? I put them somewhere, AJ. Oh, prospects who have played the box score.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the box score wasn't even that half bad for them. I think Dorlus had 7 tackles, half a sack. TFL and Johnson had 6 tackles. They felt like they're pretty. Again, Hall didn't have a bad game, and they were doing a lot of damage, but it felt like Dorlus and Blake Freeland, I guess, but Dorlus and Johnson were doing a lot of damage consistently.
They
couldn't run the ball very much either. Sorry to jump.
No.
Yeah.
Dorlus was making a lot of splashy plays inside, and he had that big play at the end of the game where he shot the gap for TFL. I thought DJ Johnson did just such a good job setting the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just unbelievable job doing that. And I wanted to actually ask you, now that we're on it, because those two, we talked about Christian Gonzalez. Noah Sewell just...
Yeah.
It was quiet.
Well, is he banged up? I think I saw that, right? I don't know.
He was in and out of the
game. Yeah, he was in and out of the game.
So I just like... interesting
that's,
development there.
I didn't put him sliding down or anything yet, but that's something to watch. Definitely.
And I don't think Justin Flo even played in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just interested to see what happens to those two linebackers, obviously.
Definitely.
He's got a rich history with linebackers. But that, bad balance for the Ducks to have to play Georgia week one, but it does look like Dan Lanning's got that defense together.
Yeah, I mean, getting destroyed that much made you, like, kind of worried, but no, it does. It does. I think that they bounce back, and this is, like, the prove-it game for them.
I'll go to I think the maybe the best player prospect in the Miami Texas A&M game, the best performance I saw from prospect, Jalen Jones. I thought the Texas A&M corner looked really good. Like, Miami was without their top receiver, and the receivers as a whole were ugly.
Yeah.
And Van Dyke played horrifically.
Yeah.
But I thought Jalen Jones was just bullying people. He is so big and athletic.
Yeah.
He had a great PBU showing off that closing speed. He was just... He's a very physical tackler on top of it.
Felt like there was a couple of plays that should have been easy completions that he was just, like, too physical on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just dominating the catch point. Like, not even, like... Yeah, go ahead.
I think he was a 5-star, and, like, he's 6'2", and he's been playing... Like, he played the last 2 years, but there wasn't a ton of hype coming in on the season for him. I think he's just a really interesting, and I think that that was his first game of the year too.
And that's why Tamu's back, baby.
That's why Tamu's back.
Okay, I'll do my backs now. First,
do you want to just do the backs as a whole? Because I got a whole list. Yeah. Who'd you put down?
Eric Gray, first.
Yeah, I got him.
Blake Corum, second.
Yeah,
that's it. I didn't put anyone else. And Evans.
I think obviously you touched on Evans, who I think was probably the most exciting of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Gray, Blake Corum with 5 touchdowns. Bijan Robinson had a great day against UTSA. Devin Shane, I thought, was just the most dynamic player in that game, 130 total yards.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Bigsby did what he could in a bad situation.
He did, yeah.
He only had 11 touches. I don't understand. And Jahmyr Gibbs against Louisiana Monroe, 8 touches, 100 yards. And my last one, Travis Dye, 138 yards against
Fresno State. Yeah, I put Dye for one of my transfers.
That's a good one. But Gray looked really explosive.
He did. Yeah. Like, I think he looked like more of a complete runner so far this year. Like, 11 carries, 113, 2 touchdowns. Like, the talent was always there, but like, I just thought he looked a lot more patient. The vision looked better too. And then, yeah, the explosiveness, he was just dominant against the Huskers. Just too quick, mm-hmm. easy, just gashing them. Like, it was an embarrassing game. They fired their DC immediately too. It killed me. Gray looked really good. Like, that's the type of, games you got to keep putting together to, you know, live up to the hype and be a potential day two back.
I didn't watch Michigan decimate Jim Moore.
Missed the best team in the country, yeah.
How does Blake Corum only have 71 yards but 5 touchdowns?
Yeah, they all came in the first half, too. It was UConn. He just looked good. Like I said, Edwards is out. So he's kind of like got the chance to be the lead back for the first time. It was a lot of short fields, so that's why he has 71 yards but 5 touchdowns. But just like flashing the quickness, the field, making dudes miss in the hole. I mean, 5 touchdowns, it speaks for itself. Like, wasn't like if he got more looks and it had longer fields, he would have had a lot more yards. Let's put it that way.
Jumping to Tank Bigsby, I just feel like he has to work harder than everyone else for his yards.
He does. And like, what do you have? 39 on the ground, 38 receiving or something, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I don't know how they didn't get him the ball more involved. It was too much Finley. I didn't get it. He does. I mean, the team around him is so bad. He can only put them on his back so much because he's done it so many times. Yeah, I feel bad for Tank.
Bijan's Bijan. Yeah. Gibbs did it against maybe the worst program in the country. I thought Devin Shane, although it was an unexciting game, mm-hmm. like, he was clearly the only... Aeneas Smith had a couple nice plays, too. But Shane, on that touchdown catch, just the combo of contact, balance, and quickness is really cool. He's going to be an interesting player because he's such a dynamic athlete, and he plays bigger than he is, but at the end of the day, he's like 185.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be an interesting conversation there.
I think so, too.
I also, since we're on the topic of running backs, I want to point out the 3 leading rushers in the country all play in the Big Ten.
Damn right. Mo Ibrahim, shoot up the board too. Yeah, throw him in. Thank you, Rob.
Chase Brown, Mo Ibrahim, and Anthony Grant, the Nebraska back.
It's great.
Got nothing going against Oklahoma.
Great. But Ibrahim and Chase Brown are my kings. So like, that's awesome.
So happy for you. Nick Singleton, among the top 50 rushers in the country, averages the most precarious at 11.1.
Yeah, he's been fucking just wrecking shit the last 2 weeks. It's pretty ridiculous. I can't wait to see him like get into the Big Ten schedule. When the big boys come out, baby. Yeah.
I'll give you one more. Charlie Jones just keeps doing it.
For yes!
Purdue. That Purdue-Syracuse game was insane. The ending was ridiculous.
I know.
The penalties that Purdue should have won that game, and they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. But regardless of all that, like, Charlie Jones is might lead the country in everything receiving-wise.
That's got to be the biggest money transfer, right? Well, power five to power five, at least, yeah.
Yeah, he's currently the second in the country in receiving yards after Rashee Rice, first in receptions, second in touchdowns.
That's sick. I love Charlie. Charlie Jones is actually awesome.
He's like a very shifty kind of works as well. Like, he's going to be a day 3 slot receiver that people are going to bang the table for. He's going to be Kyle Phillips.
Yeah, I'm glad I had him a couple times last year and, like, I forget where, but I know I mentioned him because I liked him. So
because of the return man ability?
Yes, because of the return ability. And, like, every time I would give him the ball, he looked good, too. Just, I mean, they can't count on the ball.
The smartest man in the world for transferring out of that.
He is. He
hellhole
is.
Offense. Speaking of hellhole offenses, sliding down the board, it would feel wrong not to have Tyler Van Dyke number one.
Agreed. Agreed. I mean,
this quarterback class went from, like, so many people in the offseason saying, oh, five first-round quarterbacks. And I think both of us always knew that was never going to be the case because that's never the case. And now we're in a point where I don't know if there's a first-round quarterback in this class past C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young.
I am there, too, and I touch on that more later. But agreed. Tyler Van Dyke looked solidly like a mid-round guy you take a flyer on.
Yeah, like he was sailing everything. His decision-making was very shaky, but I think worse was that, like, is it a combination of trusting his arm too much and just having no touch? I don't know. It was, and, like, he got lucky. Like, down the stretch, he padded his stats a lot.
I felt like he could have thrown two or three picks. I thought there was a couple picks left on the field there.
His stats are bad, but they should have been worse.
Well, I will say that the receivers dropped a lot of balls. That is true.
And he was without his top receiver, and the receivers are bad. I thought the offensive line played really well, though.
Yeah, no, he had time.
Without Zion Nelson.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It wasn't like, if you look at the stats, it wasn't some disaster. So uninspiring and bad.
Especially for, like, if this wasn't a guy who was being viewed as a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a different story, but he is, and
I don't think
I don't know.
I don't think he made a single throw where I'm like, okay, that's nice. I don't think there's any big time throws.
No, there was nothing. There was nothing to be like, that's why we have hope.
Like you said, his accuracy was so hit and miss. But also, like, I thought his RPMs looked kind of off. Like, I didn't think he was spinning it all that well.
Yeah, like, a guy who, in the offseason, I think the most exciting part about him, at least for me, was the arm strength. Yeah. It didn't look there.
No, it didn't.
And I felt like he was just a guy who looks like he's got to go back to school.
Yeah. But,
because I think he's a redshirt sophomore.
But get out of the crystal ball offense? Question mark? I don't know.
Ooh.
I mean,
hey, shut your mouth. Marcus Arroyo got a win for UNLV this past year.
Well, Arroyo's my guy. I just not Chris Paul. Do you want to stick with quarterbacks? I mean,
I was going to say Devin Leary looked terrible against Texas Tech.
Throw Leary in there. Like, even like the late round guys haven't been very, like, I guess, like,
Devin Leary was getting harassed by Tyree Wilson, but, like, the NC State defense got them that win. He was not good.
Leary's been bad all year.
Not look very good at all.
Rattler, done. Write him off. I know it's Georgia, but, like, terrible. 13-25.
He's at minimum, he has to go back to school.
Yeah, no touchdowns, two picks. The pick we already talked about to Starks was terrible. Throwing across his body, like, it was ugly. On a sadder note, I think you kind of got to put Jake Haener with the injury. Unfortunately, like that, even him, like, you know,
do
that,
we know what the specific?
No, but I saw him after the game, and his leg was casted up, like an air cast kind of style, like them, and on crutches. So that's not a good sign. I mean,
and that's one of the top. Both top G5 and senior quarterbacks.
Yeah, and, like, that's a guy, like, you know, day three. Oh,
he is expected to return from the high ankle sprain.
Oh, good, high ankle. But so that's not bad.
He'll need the Senior Bowl, though, and he'll need to get there despite the injury.
Yeah, totally.
I'll give you another one. Will Rogers, the Mississippi State quarterback, was starting to create some buzz, and they fell flat on their face against LSU.
I don't get it with Will Rogers, though, if I'm being completely honest.
Picking a guy he had the hype this week.
Yep, it's fair. No, I agree there.
AJ, ask me who leads the country in touchdown passes.
Who leads the country in touchdown passes?
Davis Brin from Tulsa.
had a big week again, baby.
Tied with Drake May and CJ Stroud, but
sick.
I will say Nikosi Perry's tied for fourth. That's my guy.
That's your guy. Speaking of guys, should we mention Eric Gilbert here?
I think as a whole, we were all just overexcited about potential and.
Yeah.
This should be the last time we talk about him, probably.
Yeah, like, didn't even travel for this game.
Until he's playing.
Yeah, agreed. If he's playing and looking bad, then okay. Or looking great, yes. But, no, just to touch upon it, just like, yeah. Just,
yeah.
Who knows?
I'll stick in that Georgia game, though. I didn't think Zach Pickens looked very good at all. I thought he was anonymous.
That Georgia, I feel like you could throw the Georgia IOL as a whole shooting up the board. But.
Cedric Van Pran's that dude.
Van Pran is so good, and I feel like I'm not seeing enough hype for him. I don't know if you are, Robert, but I'm not.
I'm not. I think we both
it's gonna
he
come.
The best center in the country.
Yeah, yes.
And Zach Pickens was a guy who some people has a top five IDL.
Van Pran
he was anonymous.
Van Pran handled
he got moved. Yeah. Like, I thought just there was nothing there. So that was a tough look. Pickens just doesn't, to me, like, I know he's a former five-star. He doesn't have kind of anything that jumps off the board mm-hmm. to you, screen to you.
Yeah.
Like, he's not an unbelievable pass rusher. He's not some great run defender. He's a very solid all-around player, but he also doesn't have, like, great hands nor the athleticism that scares you when he's shooting gaps or anything.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I mean, that Georgia line is – I mean, I think that, like, again, the interior is better than that. But Broderick Jones gained a lot of hype too. Anyways. My only other two were the two guys I've named. I mean, Catrell Clark, bad matchup, but I still think it's not a good look when you're getting toasted by, you know, Johnny Wilson's, like, you know, step and jab and go. And Derek Hall, who just got shut down by the young king himself, Fashunu. And I mean, yeah, that's kind of all I had.
I'll stick at the edge, though. O'Shane Mathis against Oklahoma.
Mm. Yeah.
He's been very forgettable.
He totally has. He really totally has, yeah. So much so that, like, I didn't notice him on the field.
A guy who I think at a point in time was the number one rated portal player on the Athletics rankings just didn't really create any pressure against Oklahoma and was getting moved off the ball mm-hmm. by their tackles.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who I was very excited to see him at Nebraska and just I guess he shouldn't have transferred to the worst program in the world. Also, just Jared Verse, simply because I don't know what this extent of that injury is.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And he was a guy who was just on fire.
It's really, yeah, that sucks.
Obviously not due to his play.
No.
Out of nowhere, I went with Johnny Wilson. Who'd you go with?
There wasn't that many, like, I don't know, interesting games. So I'm going to go back to Michigan. No. I'm going to go with Braden McGregor, who hasn't had that, like, big flashy game so far. Hasn't had any sacks. Sniffed a couple against Colorado State. But, like, each week he's been flashing, and this week was no different. He's 6'6", 261, a junior. He kind of looks like Aiden Hutchinson. Rock solid in the run, I thought. Has the juice to finish to the passer, just hasn't gotten it out of the sack on the paper yet. Dropped him into coverage a couple times this week and looked good, weirdly. Didn't have a PBU official, but, like, kind of broke up a passing play. Junior, right? So, like, I don't think he'll be in this class. I don't know, but I think the buzz is going to come. I think the buzz is going to come with him. So I just wanted to, in a weird week, I want to mention him. Get him in front of this thing.
I am so sick of these Michigan pass rushers.
Should be, baby. You should be.
We'll see what he's got when he has to go against Paris Johnson, DeJuan Jones. Prospect who made me look stupid.
It's got to be Michael Penix, right? Like,
oh, no. I was going to say TJ Bass.
Okay, mine is obviously Michael Penix.
You like TJ Bass a lot more than me in the summer. And I thought that Oregon offensive line was playing bully ball mm-hmm. against BYU. And TJ Bass, my guy Alex Forsythe, were awesome. Bass playing left tackle looked really good.
Yeah.
He made a couple key blocks. Oregon was running for like 7 yards every carry. A guy who I think's got a little bit more athleticism to him than I gave him credit and more power than I previously thought.
Speaking of power, Michael Penix is power, baby.
I had to give him the transfer who popped on the scene.
That's accurate. I mean,
397, four touchdowns. He was pushing it deep too.
I know. I mean, like, first of all, I took Michigan State and I looked dumb. Second of all, I feel like I've taken like every shot at Michael Penix over the last year that I've could have. And he went out and balled. Like you said, he was pushing it. Look like the glimpses of Michael Penix from 2 years ago. It's kind of fun seeing the Huskies be good again, right? Hopefully, but
yeah, Kalen DeBoer How's that offense going?
That's a good one for transfer. But yeah, I just, again, hey, the quarterback class, the top two are fine. Everyone else is looking not that good. The late round guys aren't looking that good. Maybe Penix reignites this for himself.
Yeah, it's going to be weird to see who gets to the senior
bowl. It is.
I swear to God, if Stetson Bennett's at the senior
bowl, he will be. I guarantee it.
I know Jim Nagy's going to have
it. It's going to get people there, you know?
I'm just like, on paper, I'm trying to think. Like Aiden O'Connell.
Lock. Hooker.
Hooker.
Lock. I can't do this off the top of the head.
Will Levis.
Yeah, if he decides.
Yeah.
Which he should.
I don't know. Then probably Stetson Bennett, Spencer Sanders.
Sanders would be like actually
Jake good Haner.
One. Haner.
Jaren Hall. I assume Jaren Hall will have graduated. He's like 30. So, speaking of, my best prospect first prospect matchup was Jaren Hall against that Oregon defense.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Yeah, he like, despite them losing and not putting up a ton of points, he did look good. And he made a couple wowza throws. The booth was loving him a little too much. But if he wasn't going to be a 25-year-old rookie next year, like there would be a lot more buzz around him right now. It's just like knowing he'll be that old, I think, is a little scary.
It definitely is. And like, it's not like he's, you know, some complete prospect, you know, or like some prototype either. If he was, like, say Trevor Lawrence was old for some reason, like, then you'd be a little less worried, right? But, I don't.
Jaren Hall's a year older than Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson should go back to college. That's my take of the day.
That's a good take.
My matchup's kind of already touched upon. Fashunu and versus Hall and Wooden. Fashunu dominated that, especially in the passing game. And I just wanted to highlight again, I didn't know how much we'd get into it, but Johnny Wilson versus Catrell Clark. Because it was the funniest and best game, funniest matchup and best game. So I want to give that one a shout out again.
My outplay the box score was Dorless and DJ Johnson against BYU.
I'm going to go with a deep cut that's the least deep cut imaginable. And Jalen Carter, who just didn't play much. He's got a lingering ankle injury. But when he was out there, even not 100%, he just took over the goddamn game. Like, he only had two total tackles, and that's because he wasn't out there too much, but fuck, when he was, you knew it. And that's saying something for an IDL, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my guy.
Overhyped. I went with Jamal Hines of Toledo. Do you remember me telling you about the hype I'd seen, and then, like, neither of us got it in the summer? And he had 15 TFLs, 9.5 sacks, 88 tackles last year for Toledo. People want to find the next Khalil Mack with a pass rush from the Mac. He ended up getting hurt in the second half against Ohio State, but prior to that, like, he didn't exist.
It's weird that people forget that we already found the next Khalil Mack, and it was Max Crosby, and they missed on him too.
Agreed. Who you got?
I know, I'm not going to pretend like I watched the game this week, but Will Levis, because I think we touched upon the conversation earlier that, like, people are, like, you know, throwing in all these guys as first-round picks in the summer. But Will Levis is still getting mocked top 10 in every mock. I don't.
Youngstown State's got a good defense.
Yeah, he threw two picks against Youngstown State. I know, like, the rest of the stats look good. I did see the picks. They're whatever. I don't know. I don't see that top 10 dude. And I think that's still a point to be made there.
On tape, he looks like a day two guy you're taking a swing on because of the arm talent and the athleticism.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't think there's another first-round quarterback in this class unless something drastically changes over the next 3 months.
Yeah, when Anthony Richardson comes back from whatever he's on right now.
Yeah, like, honestly, if I'm going to gamble on anyone, I know he's been horrific for 3 games in a row, but at least I can see the physical tools there. I don't know who else I would. I love Jake Haner. I would take Jake Haner day 3.
But it's going to be Levis, the third quarterback taken. I'm not going to doubt that, but I just don't think it should be 10th overall by the Seahawks.
It should be Michael Penix, who's my transfer who popped on the scene.
I put Travis Dye, who, you know, had that 100-yard game, a touchdown, looked good. He looked like Travis Dye. A little bullet. I love Travis Dye. damn good ball player. He's going to be the same guy in the NFL, too. Like, I don't think there's going to be a drop-off, you know? But to throw out there, Austin Jones looked good, too, who kind of, like, made me look stupid. I wasn't a fan of his in the summer. So just the combo of both of them going for over 100 yards, transferring in. That's nice for the Trojans. They're like NFL, you know, don't draft running backs, but also don't recruit them. Just get them in the transfer portal.
My small school guy who caught my eye, going back to that Toledo game, Daquan Finn had to do absolutely everything. He uncorked a deep touchdown pass where the receiver beat Cam Brown. And he, like, every time the play would break down, he'd run for 10 yards. There was not a lot going for that Toledo team as a whole. He's an exciting young quarterback. He's technically a fourth-year sophomore, so
he's young.
We'd see him for a lot more years.
I didn't watch too much small school, so I just went with the best player on UConn because they're a small school. And kind of an interesting story, speaking of young players, Brandon Boyer-Randall, who had 5 tackles, a sack, 2.5 TFLs. I thought the speed, like, you know, he looked like he belonged on the field. Made a lot of plays. Every time they come up with a big stop, it was Boyer-Randall. He was a former 4-star coming out of Michigan, actually, funny enough. Went to Michigan State. He's 6'2", 240. Left Michigan State, transferred to Texas Tech, and now he's at UConn as a 7th-year senior. So love the story. Ending up at UConn kills me. But like 6'2", 240 with the pedigree, I don't know, special teams camp body, maybe? Let's go.
Okay. Love it. Love it. How'd you do with your week 3 picks?
I cannot get a fucking winning week here, Rob. I went 2-3.
I did too. It's okay. I started off 2-0. I was really cocky. I hit that the Oregon and the Penn State games. I felt really good. Then I flubbed it down the stretch. I should have believed in Michael Penix. I should have known Jake Haener was going to get hurt and there wouldn't be a backdoor cover from Fresno. And I don't even remember what the third game I picked was.
You know what pissed me off, though? I gave the two, like, outside of my top 5 picks, and they both hit. So,
of course they did.
Yeah. Ask me what they are. They didn't exist, but they hit.
What's your season record?
5-9-1.
That's tough. I'm still winning. 8-7. I need a big week. It's not a great week for picks, though.
No, it's not. It was kind of hard to find the 5, and I don't really like the 5. See, that's the thing. Everyone, please remember on the show, we're not picking the 5 locks. We're going with the 5 games that are worth talking about the most.
I'm not going to pick the games I'm not going to watch.
Exactly.
Okay, my first game. Noon on ABC. Number 5, Clemson at number 21, Wake Forest. Wake is a 7-point dog at home.
Yeah, I'm taking Clemson.
Okay, I'm riding the Demon Deacons, baby.
They haven't been very impressive.
I know. They went down to the wire with Liberty. Sam Hartman missed the opener. He's back. I think this is obviously gonna like be interesting because Clemson's got one of the best defenses in the country, one of the most questionable offenses. Wake other way around. If it goes to a shootout, I trust in Wake. I hope it goes to a shootout. DJU's still.
Yep.
That Clemson offensive line's been questionable. I mean, at the same time, hopefully Brian Bresse is back. Obviously, really terrible circumstances why he missed last game. Yeah. But Miles Murphy, KJ Henry, Trenton Simpson, like, this is a big prove-it game for Sam Hartman in a quarterback class that sucked.
Yeah.
This is a big prove-it game, I think, too, for A.T. Perry, a guy who's viewed as one of the top senior receivers in the country. I'm excited-ish for this game, I guess.
It's not bad compared to like what we've had at noon the last few weeks.
It's more fun when we pick against each other, too.
It is, and I just think that Clemson defense is going to be too much. I don't think the Clemson's going to cover this easy, but they should win by 10. Like, I don't know, a fucking 28-17 game.
Oh, no, I think everybody Wake wins.
I think either Wake wins or they're not going to cover, though.
Or they lose by 30.
Yeah. They're not going to cover.
It'd be very Dave Clawson.
Exactly.
Slow mesh, baby. My next game's 3:30 ESPN, number 22, Texas at Texas Tech.
Okay, I didn't pick this one.
Okay, let me tell you why Tech is going to cover that 6.5 points. Hudson Card's not good. Texas is fraudulent. Texas Tech plays really hard for Joey McGuire. That defense is pretty freaking good with Tyree Wilson rushing the passer. Offensively, they're a little shaky, but they got some players. Donovan Smith's not a bad quarterback. Sir Roderick Thompson, this is a breakout game.
Yep.
I think Texas wins at Tech, but this is going to be a big moment for Joey McGuire. Like, oh, this man's got this thing trending in the right direction.
So you're taking Tech plus, also, what is it?
That's 6.5.
Okay.
Also, what happened to the Texas Tech quarterback that everyone loved from Oregon?
Tyler Shough, baby. Tyler Shough.
Yeah, what's up with that guy? That guy doesn't exist.
What was... I don't know, man. I think Tyler Shough is Bo Nix, but Bo Nix didn't have the... had a better name, you know?
Yeah, okay.
That's my...
Are you taking the Tennessee-Florida game at 3:30 on CBS?
Yeah, but I don't want to.
It feels like such a trap because... like, this is going to be... It's first of all, it's Anthony Richardson is coming off three horrific games after upsetting Utah, being crowned the best quarterback in the country by me, which was a lie. And he's never started a road game. Going to Knoxville and playing in Neyland Stadium is no easy task. Tennessee's got everything going for them, but it's 10.5 points.
It's a lot.
I'm going to take the Vols. I love Hendon Hooker. I think Josh Heupel's surprisingly good hire.
I told you. I called it. Remember, I love the Heupel hire. Go back and listen to that old podcast. I'm taking the Vols, too. 10.5, yeah. I mean, I don't trust it. I think Hooker's been kind of not as good as like, he's as the stats, if I'm being honest. But I still love him.
But it's an offense that lets him put up those stats.
Yeah.
Florida gave up 28 to South Florida.
Yeah.
Like, I know Florida's got some dogs. Jervon Dexter's a monster. Brenton Cox is very good. But if it's a high-scoring game, like, Hendon Hooker and Josh Heupel and Cedric Tillman and Brew McCoy and Jabari Smith, like,
yeah.
The Vols are going to put up 35 points regardless, and I don't know if Florida can.
I was about to say, Dexter and Cox aren't covering Cedric Tillman. I think that's kind of the difference.
And that's not even, like, Tennessee's got a nice little pair of pass rushers himself from Tyler Barron and Byron Young. Yeah. Like, the Vols don't have a lack of defensive talent. Like, I don't know. This is going to be a really – this is a litmus test. Like, how good has Heupel turned this thing around? And how bad is Anthony Richardson?
I will also say I feel like this is a no-lose for us. Either Tennessee covers – or Anthony Richardson's fucking back, baby.
I know. It's perfect.
It is.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
You picking the 4 p.m. Big Fox 4 o'clock game, Rob?
I don't even know what it is.
The Ducks at Wazoo.
Oh, the Cam Ward Bo Nix battle?
Oregon -6.5. I don't know, man.
Pullman.
In Pullman on the Palouse. I'm going to take the Cats. I'm going to take the Cats at home to get frisky, man. Dickert's got him
cover
frisky.
Or win?
I feel like if they're gonna cover, they're just gonna win. But I'm just taking the plus the 6.5 points. I'll take those points.
You just hate Dan Lanning. I think Oregon's sick, and Bo Nix is that dude.
I also just love Cam Ward.
He looked not crazy.
No, he hasn't. He looked bad, but I don't care. I love him.
I wish I took that game. I didn't.
Wazoo's just frisky. They're just frisky. They're just frisky.
Hey, it's not easy to go to Pullman.
It's not.
7 p.m. ESPN, number 10, Arkansas, against number 23, Texas A&M, in Arlington, Jerry's World, the Jerry Bowl Classic. Did you pick this one?
Yeah, I did. I mean, look, if it's in Jerry's World, he's a Pigs fan. This is a home game. It's a home game for Arky, in my opinion.
The best thing about this is that Texas A&M cannot throw the ball. Arkansas cannot stop the pass. What's going to happen?
They're going to stop the pass, I think. I'm taking the Pigs.
Because, one, if it's an offensive game, well, I mean, Texas A&M has no offense.
Sanders
KJ Jefferson,
stud.
Even if he can't throw, KJ Jefferson can go. And Raheem Sanders is quickly becoming one of the best running backs in the country.
Yeah.
Matt Landers of Toledo last year is – just kind of came off a breakout game against Missouri State, but still. They have good receivers. They have a good offensive line. It's a good offense, I think. And then defensively, Drew Sanders is quickly become one of the kind of best playmakers in the SEC. Whereas with Texas A&M, I don't think you come off that win over Miami thinking like, oh, like it was just a hiccup against App. No, I just think Miami way was overrated.
Bad. Yeah.
And, like, Texas A&M's a young team. They've got, obviously, some big recruits and a lot of talent, but just doesn't seem like anything is clicking. It's Devin Ashane putting the team on his back, and that's kind of it. Like, I don't know about you, but against Miami, like, their secondary played well.
Yeah.
But outside of Jalen Jones, I didn't think anyone on that defense really popped off the screen.
Yeah, I agree. It was more just Van Dyke not being good or the receivers not being good. Like,
yeah,
the running game just not being good. What do you got? A&M at minus two, right? 2.5? What do you got at it?
I got – what do you have? I have Arkansas plus two. What do you have?
I've got 2.5. You want to give it – no.
I'm taking that half.
Okay, let's take the half. It won't matter, but I think
– I know I need that.
Arkansas wins outright, I think.
I hope.
Do we know if they're wearing the Cowboys-inspired jerseys again? Because that's a good omen this year. It's a good omen this year.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay. My last game, 7:30 ABC, Wisconsin at number 3 Ohio State. You got this?
Yeah, I got this.
Buckeyes 18-point favorites at home. Give me those 18.
Mm-hmm.
Roll Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good test for Jim Leonard. And if Nick Herbig and Keanu Benton can rush the passer.
I think that's going to be the fun thing to watch. Like, you know, watching Marvin Harrison and Egbuka and JSN and Stroud just torch this Wisconsin secondary, not going to be fun, but watching Herbig and Benton going up against this Ohio State offensive line, it is going to be fun. And then on the flip side, I just don't see Wisconsin moving the – like, Ohio State's defense hasn't been that strong, but I still don't see them doing too much. Like, they couldn't move the ball on Wazoo. Like,
the front seven's, like, solid. The secondary is once again questionable.
Yeah, I like Cam Brown. And it sucks to hear that he got exposed against Toledo, but –
your guy Josh Proctor wasn't playing. Tanner McAllister also wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. There's the two starters. But yeah, it's a good test for what's Ohio State's ceiling. Is Graham Mertz going to carve them up?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like that's. But can the Buckeyes front seven slow Braylon Allen? Because it's really Braylon Allen's going to have to put the whole last team on his back for Wisconsin to cover. I think
if this was in Madison and the line wasn't different, I probably still want it, and it was snowing. Then I'd think about it. Yeah,
I just think Ohio State's an automatic 42 points in this game. Mm-hmm. Can Wisconsin hang?
No,
I'm gonna eat my words. Is that all your games?
That's all the games.
It's all the games. Another kind of anticlimactic week.
Yeah,
I mean, week two ended up way exceeding expectations being incredible.
I could see this one
week
being
three was very boring.
Yeah,
this will be in between.
Probably. I can see this one being more fun than last week. 100%. It will be more fun.
Well, week five is incredible because Friday night there's just five games for some reason, and none of them are super relevant. But I just love Friday night college football.
You know what makes me sad the most about this week though?
What?
That we got West Virginia and Virginia Tech, and that game doesn't matter. Like, just for my heart, it makes me sad.
Oh, I'm sorry, AJ. If it makes you feel better, next week your Sun Devils play USC.
Thank you, Rob. I'm so happy now.
I'm perusing the schedule just quickly before we get up. Oh, Ohio State plays Rutgers.
That's a ball game. Got it. Must
Alabama
watch.
Plays Arkansas.
That's fun. So that's fun after Arky goes to TAMU or, you know, goes to Dallas.
Oh, Michigan plays Iowa.
That's not fun. I think Michigan-Maryland this week is more interesting. Yeah.
We'll get the Will Levis test next week. Kentucky-Ole Miss.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. It's not that great.
Okay, let's talk about those games next week. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fine. So long and good night. Herm Edwards, you were everything to the show.